Oh, I can't wait. We're doing this series right now called Your Best Life. And it's kind of some signature messages that we're wanting to impart around how to live the life that God's intended us to live. John chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says this, that God, he wants us to have life and life in the full, or life in abundance. And that's what God wants us to have. Hey, years ago, the founders of this church, Graham and Pat Fletcher, moved to Canada. When we took over the church in 2000, they moved to Vancouver, Canada. And so when we went to visit them in about 2003, just to see the church and see what they'd planned, what that had begun and what they'd planted, we went up the back of Vancouver to a mountain. I think it's called Grouse Mountain. We've got any Canadians in the house, is that right? Grouse Mountain, yep, true. Don't correct me if it's wrong, just nod and we'll roll along. Anyway, so don't look on your phone to fact check me either right now. So anyway, it's a mountain behind Vancouver. And at the top of the mountain, there was two bears. And their names were Cooler and Grinder. Okay, there's two bears. And so when we went up to the mountain, Fletch, who was the pastor there, he's like, you're going to love this because I call the bears and they come to me. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah. And he goes, and I said, how does that work? He goes, and everybody else tries to call them with their Canadians, like Cooler, Grinder, come over. But it doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because they've been trained by an Aussie. So because they recognize the voice of an Aussie and the accent of an Aussie, he goes up there and he goes, Cooler, Grinder, and they come over to him. So I thought, I'll give it a try. I yelled out, Cooler, Grinder, and they came over to me. And all of the Canadians are like, oh. I'm like, it's just, you know, Australia Zoo, Steve Irwin. It's just what we do. Right? That's how we roll, all right, years ago. And so this, I have this core memory now, and it's a cool core memory. So if somebody ever just says the word Cooler, immediately I go, Cooler, Grinder. It's just like a word association in my mind and a good memory. There's a neural pathway that's been built in my mind around the words Cooler, Grinder, and I'll go back and I'll imagine and I'll say it and I'll laugh to myself because that's kind of the way our brains are wired. And today I want to talk to you really around Scripture and how God wants to use Scripture to rewire our brain. We're going to go to Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read a few scriptures, a few verses here, and we're going to get to the text for today's sermon. It's verse 8 of Joshua chapter 1. But the context of this scripture is that the children of Israel were once slaves in Egypt. They'd come out of slavery through the Red Sea. They'd been in the wilderness for years. Their unbelief, whinging and complaining basically meant that a whole generation died in the wilderness. And then eventually, when Moses died, Joshua had the promise from God, you're going to lead all these people into their promised land. It's a metaphor for the Christian life, that we've come out of slavery from Egypt, which means we've come out of a dark place. We've come through Christ. We've come through the Red Sea, which is baptism. And we walk through a journey where God takes our past out of us and preparing us for living the promises that he has for us on earth. It's a metaphor for that. And ultimately, and you might be here today and you've never, you know, when we talk about coming out of slavery, you're like, I'm not a slave. But the idea of this is that all of us are enslaved to sin. Sin is something that we're born enslaved to, entrapped to. It controls us. And the only way to get free from patterns and habits and things that are limiting our life, they parade as freedom, but ultimately they're not freedom. They actually entrap us. The way we get free, there's only one way. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ who died on a cross so that we could be forgiven, cleansed, and sin's power could be broken over us so that we could walk in this amazing life God's called us to have. If you've never received Christ, then today's the day for your sins to be forgiven and for Jesus to become your Savior and for everything to change. And we'll do that a little later on. So that's the context. And here we are in Joshua chapter 1. It says, verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. We jump down to verse 6. So be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Again, he says, only be strong and very courageous. Why is he saying that? Because the land that God's given them is filled with giants and they're terrifying in the natural. So God says, be strong, be very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. I love this, that God's design for us is to prosper. The Bible talks about us prospering in our soul, in our relationships, in our health, in our finances. God's design for us is that we would prosper and be in good health as our soul prospers. And he goes on, and this is our text for today. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Everybody say meditate. Everybody say the book of the law. I'll meditate, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 8, this is our, and then he goes on and says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? How many people know if God says that three times, it probably means you're going to need to be strong and courageous? And he does. And so, but in the middle of it, God gives him this key. This key of accessing the fulfillment of God's best. He says, the book of the law. Well, that's the Torah, that's the law, that's the first five books of the Bible that God's given to Moses. He said, essentially, it shall not depart from your where? Not from your mind? From your mouth. He says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Okay. But you shall meditate on it day and night. Okay, so if I have the, and so for us, the book of the law is the word of God. It's the Bible, the whole truth. So the book of the law, it shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So it should, it'll be in your mouth and you'll meditate, that you might observe. So it's going to instruct you to do all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I want to let us in today on one of the secrets of Bible success is that we get the Word of God not just on our shelves, not just in our minds, but actually in our mouths. And we and here, now let's talk about the word meditate. Okay, the word meditate. So in modern Eastern world, Eastern religions have influenced us, and we kind of think meditating is hum. Meditating is emptying our minds. Meditating is trying to disconnect from so many different things so that we come into a state of nothingness and zen. All right. That is not Bible meditation. Bible meditation is not emptying your mind. Bible meditation is filling your mind. Bible meditation, and here's the thing, Bible meditation is not silence. The literal word for meditation in the Bible is this, in the Hebrew, is hagor. And it literally means to declare out loud. Probably the best English word for meditate is mutter. Mutter. Now, some of you know what muttering is. Come on, some of you are muttering beside your spouse when they drive in the car. Come on. Oh, that's, we're going the long way. That was a faster way. Why did we turn then when we could have turned? I've got a helper. This is awesome. Anyone here have a mutterer who's a co-pilot in the car when you drive? Anyone at all? Oh, I've seen hands, and then hands are being slapped to put down. That's awesome. We know it's true then. We know it's true. Mutter. Mutter. But in Bible words, muttering is meditating. Speaking, it can be under your breath, but it's the word in your mouth. You're declaring the promises of God. So this would mean for Joshua, he would be meditating. He'd be saying things like, "I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." He'll be talking about the Ten Commandments. "Hear, O Israel, therefore the Lord your God is one God." So he'll be declaring things out of the Torah. And God is saying to Joshua, your success will be in the amount of your muttering, the mouth of the word and the promises of God. The more you declare it, the more it'll get into you, and the more that you'll obey it, and the more then you'll have success. Now, this is interesting because in this context, Joshua's just lived for 40 years in the wilderness with a whole group of mutterers. But they're the wrong kind of mutterers. And unfortunately for Joshua, who was one of the 12 spies, and he gave a good report that we can go in and we can take the land, but there was 10 others who didn't, who muttered a bad report. And because of the lack of faith and unbelief, he essentially wasn't able to go into the promised land that God had for him. He spent 40 years in the wilderness as that generation died off. And so God is reinforcing, Joshua, if you're going to lead these people in, there's going to have to be a change of the way that you speak to yourself about what your future is and about the word of God. And you can't afford to have a whole nother generation of mutterers. Literally, there's moments when God kind of said, I'm so sick of these people, I want to take them out, to Moses. Numbers 14, 26 and 27 says this, then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long must I put up with this wicked community and its complaints about me? I've heard the complaints the Israelites are making against me. You will not enter and occupy the land I swore to you. The only exceptions will be Caleb and Joshua. So in essence, the complaints about the food, the water, the wilderness, the giants, the constant dialogue of muttering complaints about God is what stopped them going into their promised land. But on the other side, God's saying what's going to get you into your promised land is muttering the right things. So this morning, my message title is What You Mutter Matters. What you mutter matters. All right, so let's talk about this a little bit today. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with the mockers. Now, we're not talking about lattes with a bit of chocolate in them when we talk about mockers, just to be clear. We're talking about people who are critical, who are on the sidelines being critical. This is what all the children of Israel were. They were on the sidelines being critical. Don't join in with the critics. Don't join in with the naysayers. Now let's just pause for a moment, little footnote, little side note. Let's think about this, because David did a lot of complaining to God. Jeremiah did quite a bit of complaining to God, but they didn't get corrected or told off for what they did. What's the difference between the Psalms where David says, oh God, where are you? Why have you forsaken? Why are you not answering my prayer? And the children of Israel's complaints and negativity. Well, here's what it is. Essentially, the children of Israel's complaints and negativity were fueled by unbelief. They were rebellious, and essentially they were complaining about God. They weren't complaining to God out of relationship. Whereas David was actually coming and saying, out of a heart of faith and a heart of trust and believing God, he was being real with God and bringing his complaint to God, which is absolutely legitimate, so that we don't bottle it up and then push it down and pretend nothing's going wrong. So learning to be honest with God, but then David so often ends out of his lament, he ends in a place of worship. He ends in a place of thankfulness, whereas the children of Israel, they weren't even communicating with God. They're just like, why did God do this? Why does God do that? Why does God do that? They were whinging and complaining and muttering. So my question to you today is, what are you muttering? What are you muttering? What's coming up out of your heart about God? Come on, for those of you watching up online, what's for my wife, she's been muttering what a great husband I am, how great I have been caring for her, just how kind I've been. Thank you, honey, I appreciate that. What's coming up about God? What's coming up out of your heart? Because here's the thing, Bible says this, guard your heart, for out of your heart flows the boundaries of your life. What have we been muttering, and why does it matter? Well, science in the last decade or so has been catching up with the importance of what God talked to Joshua about. Science has done discoveries around our minds, around the idea of modern science talks about neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity is the idea that our brain has neural pathways, and there are common neural pathways that over time they're like well-worn tracks in your brain. And so usually there's like a little off-ramp, and so a certain core memory like cooler grinder comes along and you're like, cool, I'll go down that little neural pathway. And fortunately for me, that one lends me to a positive experience. But if we've got a neural pathway that we're walking along and somebody mentions a particular thing that has a negative association, and then there's the way we think about God, the way we think about church, the way we think about ourselves, the way we think about parents, friends, whatever it might be, people, and there's a mention of a particular word and it triggers a core memory, and then suddenly there's a negative neural pathway that our brain goes down, and you can go like, I was quite happy to, oh man, I'm so depressed in moments. Why? Because of the pathways that have been established in our mind. And science has caught up with this idea. That's why Paul, when he writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, don't be conformed to the world. You're not going to be changed by trying to copy the world, but be transformed like a caterpillar to a butterfly. Metamorphosis is the Greek word. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Now, this is to saved people, he's writing. He's writing to Christians who have already been made brand new and are new creations on the inside spiritually through Christ. That, he's not saying that that doesn't matter. He's saying that that's the start of your transformation. But if you're going to be fully transformed to be like Jesus, which is the goal, you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Science would say it like this: you will be transformed by creating new neural pathways in your brain and discontinuing the use of the old ones, because bit by bit, as you change your thinking, you'll change your life. So this is why God says to Joshua, I want you to meditate on the word day and night. I want you to mutter it. I want you to walk up and down going, I'm strong and I'm bold and I'm courageous. I want you to walk up and down saying, you shall have no other gods before me. I want you to just keep muttering this to yourself so that your mind will be aligned with God's will and purpose. Neural pathways. Parents, side note, it's our role to shape the neural pathways of our children. It's our role to speak life over them, to speak courage over them, to tell them they're fearfully and wonderfully made, to tell them that God's got a plan for their life. It's our job to tell them that they're handsome, that they're beautiful, that they can do all things. The world will try and knock that out of them. So we don't need to try and put a humility in our kids through trying to knock it out of them. We need to put life into our kids. Now, obviously, there's other sides to that, let's be clear. I love with our kids, I knew that we'd created a positive neural pathway where we would, they'd come after meeting somebody and they'd say, oh, I just met somebody and they loved me. And all of our kids simultaneously would say, what's not to love? It's like, that's a little piercism in our house. What's not to love? Now, I'm not asking that question for you to come up with a list of what's not to love. I'm just talking about creating a pathway in our mind that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made and I'm loved by God. So here's the thing, modern science will tell you this. Every time you repeat a thought, phrase, or action, you strengthen a neural pathway. Repeatedly muttering scripture forms well-worn trails in the brain, making those truths quicker and easier to access in the future. Old negative pathways, fear, shame, and worry, begin to weaken when we stop reinforcing them, while new faith-based pathways strengthen the more we say them and act on them. There's a part of the process of this, and this is why it's not silent. So you can think silently about the Word of God, but it's nowhere near as effective as speaking the Word of God. And again, scientists will tell you that's because of the auditory feedback loop. Your brain is processing twice. One time your brain is processing you to say it. The next time your brain is processing you hearing it. So it has this double whammy effect on creating an effective new neural pathway. In fact, it's not just in your mind that this happens, but as you declare promises from God, it vibrates out loud, it vibrates in your chest, in your mouth, and even your bones register what you're saying so that your nervous system is being transformed as the Word of God is now being embedded into your nervous system. You're being transformed how? By the Word of God. Joshua, Lead these people into their promised land. Be strong and be courageous. And how are you going to do it? The word of God is going to be in your mouth. And you're going to meditate on it. You're going to say it and you're going to speak it day and night. What you mutter matters. So I thought this morning I would give you three things we all should be muttering as followers of Jesus. Three things, okay? And this is a get your phone out to take some photos moment. This is, if you were to come into my study where I study, read the Bible and pray, you would see, I would guess 60 scriptures all over the world, all over my wall, little prayer cards, heaps of scriptures that I would, probably a third of my prayer life is declaring scripture. Muttering it, saying it over, and then throughout the day, saying it over. So if you're a follower of Jesus, here's some things, and I've just chosen three, and I think these are three core things that we need to get in to the very core of who we are, about who we are and who God is. Because if you try to be a believer and a follower of Jesus without core truth being really deep in your heart, then it's going to be hard work. You're going to be pushing it uphill. So the hard work is actually in muttering and meditating and declaring until truth becomes revelation, till something in your mind gets into your brain deep, and then it transforms into our heart and we're away. So here's the first one. I'm going to put them up for you. The first declaration, there's just three little phrases, if we can put this one up. God loves me, He delights in me, and He's smiling over me. All right, I'm giving you some things to mutter right now, because I don't know about you, depending on your background, with your family of origin, with your religious experience, you might have been told all sort of different things, firstly about who God is and what He thinks about you. And so to get to your core and my core, this thought, God loves me, God delights in me, and He's smiling over me. For me, this is probably something around the age of 20 that I realized that through my upbringing, I knew God was good. I knew God saved people. I knew that He had commandments for us to follow. I knew so much about God. And I knew in concept that He loved me, but my experience of thinking was, the first time I'd come to pray, my automatic thinking would be, now what have I done wrong? And God's not smiling at me until I've got everything right. So I realized that through a range of different ways, neural pathways in my mind had created that I saw God as more like a policeman or a judge than a loving father. And so I had to go to work on changing my core belief. Now, is God a judge? Absolutely, He's a judge. Does He require holiness? Absolutely, He requires holiness. But if your first image of God is that He's a judge, not a father, then that's going to create a problem in your relationship with God. Now, the complexity of this particular one is, if you've had a bad relationship with your father, then sometimes we can project that bad relationship with our father to God, and that can make it hard to imagine that God loves you. So there's often two parts that go with this meditating on the Word of God, and one is releasing the pain and releasing forgiveness from those who have spoken negatively over us, so we forgive them. But the second is muttering. So here's, now you can mutter, I put the scriptures with each one of them. You can go and do your homework and look them up later. But I would just encourage you, as part of your day, when do you have your mutter time? When's your mutter time? Not like, flip, they cut me off, they did it again, what the, not that mutter time. Oh, gee, my clothes don't fit anymore, I need more money, we don't have enough money. Not that mutter time. When do you have your mutter about the Word of God time? When do you meditate? Remember biblical meditation? Mutter. So it would be a great idea, and I have reminders in my phone that come up with certain things to remind me to do. Wouldn't it be a great idea if three times a day your phone came up with a reminder saying it's mutter time? And here's the things to mutter. God loves me. He delights in me. He's smiling over me. God loves me. He delights in me. He's smiling over me. Come on, say it with me. God loves me. He delights in me. He's smiling over with me. Online, join in with us right now. God loves me. He delights in me. He's smiling over me. You're like, okay, well, where's this coming from? Well, you can look up the scriptures. I like the Numbers one. And this is what the priests would declare over the children of Israel. It's a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance. What's that mean? It means he's smiling. He's smiling over you. So if your image of God is he's got this big, long white beard and he's cranky, we need to change it. He delights in you. I'll just imagine, I'm like, he's got his arms wide open. He's running towards me like the father with the prodigal son. He kisses me on the neck. He's smiling. I want you to think of the person in your life who is the most excited ever to see you that makes you feel good about yourself. It's like, okay, maybe it's your kid when you come home from work. Maybe it's not if they're a teenager, but that's okay. Maybe it's your dog right now. Okay, I don't know, right? And what it is, but there's someone who sees you and they're delighted and your heart leaps and you're excited to see them. Okay, that is a percentage of what God sees when he comes towards you. He's like, oh, so good to see you. I love you. I'm smiling. I love you. You're in church. Amazing. You woke up today. Amazing. I love you. Retrain your brain. Come on, there's some neural pathways that we need to work on. And if your neural pathway goes like this, God's cranky at me. I need to pick up my game. I don't do enough. That's wrong. That's a wrong foundation. Then you'll strive. Then you'll never be good enough. Then you'll think I need to give more, serve more, do more to earn God's love. No, you can't. God loves me. He delights in me and he's smiling over me. Turn to my neighbor and say, that was for you, that one. All right, just for the sake of time, let's keep moving. Next one, let's put the next one up. Here's some more mantras. You can take a photo, take this home and add it to your mutter time because what you mutter matters. God is for me. He's got plans for me. My future is bright. Come on, God is for me. He's got plans for me. My future is bright. Now, you want to take it to another level? You get those scriptures, you print them out, and you have them on cards. And I've got like little digital flashcards that I go through all the time. And so it's like one of those is out of Psalms, and it says, this I know, God is for me. All right, now a little key for developing new neural pathways from science. I'm just trying to help science come together. There's this phrase called emotional salience, which makes memories stickier. So words that are said with conviction or feeling lodge deeper in the amygdala part of your brain and hippocampus, which is not a campus, not a university of hippopotamuses. It's actually, that's quite good. I came up with that right then. That was awesome. Amygdala and hippocampus. Okay, what we're talking about is the emotional and memory center of your brain. So when you say things with chewed attitude, when you say them with meaning, when you say them with conviction, they become stickier and they get deeper into your mind quicker because you didn't just mutter them. You're like, this I know. God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Plans for good and not for... So this is it. I've just shortened them down. My future is bright. Proverbs says this, that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. You're like, but I'm 73 years old and I'm not sure about the future. Well, I mean, if you're a Christian, the future is brighter than anything in your past. The paths of the righteous. And here's what happens when the devil or circumstances or voices are trying to tell you, oh, you've peaked. Things are only going to get worse for you. You start to go to, well, I'm going to start muttering. I'm going to start muttering what the word of God is. God is for me. He's got plans for me. My future is bright. And when you say it with the actual word of God, the path of this righteous person is shining brighter and brighter, and it shines brighter to the coming day, which is talking about Jesus' return. Are we doing all right this morning? All right, so say that one with me. God is for me. He's got plans for me. My future is bright. Turn to your neighbor and say it to them. God is for you. He's got plans for you. Your future is bright. Come on, somebody. Here we go. All right, ready for one more? Come on, you can feel the joy coming in the room right now. Why is that? Because we're muttering some stuff together that's straight from the Word of God. When you speak the Word of God, it changes your atmosphere, your emotions. I'm feeling like preaching right now, but I'm just teaching. All right, last one. These are just three foundational ones. I am forgiven. I've been made holy. I'm a new creation in Jesus. This is for every person who thinks that yesterday's stuff up disqualifies you. This is for every person who thinks that you've got to spend the next 10 years doing good deeds to disqualify what you've done in the past. This is for every person who's grown up in a religious atmosphere or an overwhelming atmosphere of negativity. And to be able to say at the start of the day, if you got hit by a bus before you'd prayed God forgive me prayers, you know where you'd go? You'd still go straight to heaven because your status is one of holiness in Christ. Your status is one who's been forgiven and made right with Jesus. Now, I ask for forgiveness every day. I pray and ask for forgiveness because I'm being sanctified. I'm becoming more like Jesus. But the starting place is I'm a new creation. The old's passed away. I'm one with Jesus Christ. I'm righteous. I'm holy. And that's not because I've been perfect. That's because I'm attached. I'm a new creation, born again to the one who is holy. And his holiness has been imputed to me. So to say that these words are so cool every day, to mutter, I am forgiven. Come on, I've been made holy. I'm a new creation in Jesus. Say it with me right now. I am forgiven. I've been made holy. I'm a new creation in Jesus. That's so awesome. I love it. You guys are doing so good. You've got three things to mutter. What you mutter matters. Future's opening up when you align your word. Let's finish with that scripture. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall mutter in it day and night. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I want to tell you somebody, the greatest preacher you're ever going to hear is sitting in your seat right now. When you declare the Word of God to you, when you speak the Word of God with the I am in front of it, your transformation is coming from the inside out. I can tell you till the cows come home, which I'm not sure where they went, but I'm sure they're coming home. I can say it over and over, but if you don't believe what I say, you got to say it. You got to declare it. What you mutter matters. Can we stand to our feet right now? Oh God, you can feel the joy in the room right now because we've got some truth bubbling up on the inside right now. Can you lift your hands to God? Father, we thank you for your presence right now. We thank you for your love right now. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God right now. We pray that you'd help us to declare, to speak, to meditate, to think, to say your Word over and over as it transforms us, renews us. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Right now, right now, right now. If you do need to just right now go do some business with God, if your muttering has got more to the negative unbelief zone, just ask for his forgiveness right now. Come on, just begin to do business with God. Lord, we're sorry where we've muttered complaints. We're sorry where we've been negative. We're sorry where we've been unbelieving. We're sorry where we've allowed negativity to rob us, God. Come on, be real. Be real with God right now. Be real with God right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Your word, your word, your word. Your word, your word, your word. Your word, your word. I'm going to ask us right now. I put up three different phrases, three different truths. I'm loved by God. I'm going to ask you right now to think which is the one that you need to speak the most. Maybe it's just starting with one until it gets deeply ingrained in you. Is it number one? I'm loved by God. He delights in me. He's smiling over me. Is that the one that you really need to get into you? I'm going to ask for a survey in a moment. Is it the second one? God is for you. He's got plans for you. Your future is bright. Is that the one that you need to meditate on and get on the inside? Or is it, I'm forgiven. I'm holy. My past has been cleansed. I'm a new creation in Christ. So that's one, two, or three. Just eyes closed right around the room. Online, joining with me right now. We're just letting this word get into our heart. Who would say the number one is the thing that I really need to get into my heart? I am loved by God. He delights in me. He's smiling over me. Come on, put your hand up. Just reach out and say, that's what I need to get in. Otherwise, you'll strive. What about number two? God is for me. He's got plans for me. My future is bright. Come on. Oh, those scriptures, so powerful. The future, his plans are for good and not for evil. What about the third one? I am forgiven, I am cleansed. My past, yes, so good. Come on, I'm future, I'm cleansed. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. Oh God, so good. Father, right now. I'm gonna get us to sing, and I hope you can do this, but we're gonna rotate through those three scriptures. And we're going to have a little bit of muttering practice right now. This is what I love when we sing songs that are from Scripture. It's just like declaring them over and over again. And they get, so the best sort of songs are songs directly from the Word of God that speaks truth. My mum's funeral, we sang this old Hillsong song about the stone being rolled away. She loved it so much. I've been forgiven, I've been set free, restored and sanctified by Christ. It was kind of hard to get really into it at her funeral, but by the same token, it was truth. And so when you sing, that's another way to get truth on the inside. So let's put up the first one of those three. And we're just, what you're doing now is awesome, Jeremy, just a prophetic sound. And let's just begin to say these, begin to declare them right now over your life. Just begin to practice. God loves me. He delights in me. Every 10 seconds, let's put up the next one. He delights in me. God is for me. Come on. He's got plans for me. Right. Come on, mutter the word of God. Come on, God is for me. He's got plans for me. My future is bright. God is for me. He's got plans for me. My future is bright. Come on. I am forgiven. I've been made holy. I'm a new creation in Jesus. I've been forgiven. I've been made holy. I'm a new creation in Jesus. Come on. Cleanse. God loves me. He delights in me. He's smiling over me. His arms are open wide to me. He's for me. God, he loves me. He delights in me. He's smiling over me. Come on, get a bit of mutter on today. Get some mutter with attitude. Remember, it's more effective if you say it with conviction. Come on, he's for me. He's got plans for me. My future is bright. God is for me. He's got plans for me. My future. Come on, I am forgiven. I've been made holy. I am a new creation in Christ. Oh, I'm forgiven. I'm holy. Forgiven and holy. Forgiven. I'm holy. My righteousness comes from Jesus. My righteousness comes from Jesus. I'm a new creation. Oh, you love me. You delight in me. You're smiling over me. You're for me, Lord. You're for me, Lord. You got plans for me. Plans to give me a future and a hope. Plans to give me a future and a hope. My future is bright. Plans. Oh. All right, come on, let's just give him some praise and thanks right now. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we honor you. You're for us. Your word will be in our mouth. We'll meditate on it day and night. And in it, we'll have success. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You can grab your seat right now.